Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, a new week, first day in February. We've been talking about our purpose, the difference between purpose and success, and we've been looking at what is hindering our purpose now, things that can hinder our purpose, keep us from achieving our purpose. We've talked about our misbeliefs about our purpose. We've talked about a lot of different expectations, and a lot of times what happens is we get so busy trying to accomplish something, we don't stop and step back and look, is this the something we want to be really investing our time in? There's a rule in marketing that what the best way to increase your business, increase the awareness of your business, is simply by activity. It doesn't even have to be, you know, expensive activity, just activity. That's one of the reasons the old adage that any attention is good attention for, like, celebrities. That's where that came from, that just getting your name out there, whether it's for a good reason or a bad reason, it gets the name out there. It draws attention. And that works in both ways. In both for positive, that if you want to get your name out, but also if someone just wants to convince you of something, if they repeat it enough, if they put it in your face, even if you have alternative options, even if it doesn't make any sense, we can believe it just because it is so constantly in our face, unless we question it, unless we stop and look, turn back and go, okay, is this true? Is it lining up with who I am, what I believe? And we often, once we start thinking about that, what we believe, what we want, for us, what is right, what is morally right, and in terms of justice, what is right, we don't have any way of defending ourselves against what we're hearing. So what we are looking at is taking time to evaluate our personal purpose, our projects we're working on, and our purpose, depending on God, learning how to depend on God, is our purpose here. And then he assigns us projects. And we are successful in those projects when we are depending on God to achieve them. But are those the areas where we are being active? Or are we succumbing to the activity of the world around us? We don't want to be caught having lost opportunities simply because we didn't take the time to put up our hand and say, okay, that's enough of that. So knowing your purpose is related to depending on God, we know that how important it is to be able to hear Him and how to be able to and to be able to recognize our enemies and how to prevent attacks, take care of our vulnerabilities, and then even go on the offensive and take back what has been stolen from us. So we're looking at those beliefs and sometimes just plain old habits that are keeping us from achieving that dependence on God, from achieving our purpose now here on this earth. So this is an opportunity to make things personal for you. This is not just about something, a teaching. These are areas and ways to apply what we're learning. So hopefully be spending time with God and asking Him, Lord, are there areas where this applies to me, where I am hindering our purpose? And it's a joint purpose between you and God. These are the areas He wants you to succeed in. And I tell you, between the two of you, there's no one who can stand up to you. So there's guaranteed success. Part of the process is overcoming these hindrances. And we started talking last week about flesh or the self-life. And we've talked about how your self-life has a life of its own. And to depend on God, your flesh will have to die. And your flesh knows that. Your self-life knows that. Doing things your way has a life of its own and wants to keep you from depending on God. So they are at complete loggerheads. There's not going to be any compromise. God's not going to let you compromise. The flesh will do anything it takes. We'll try to compromise because its ultimate end is to be completely done away with so that you will be complete and entire and whole, spirit, soul, and body. It is your flesh, your self-life, believing lies, your woundedness, your need for control. And it's an aspect of your soul that God gave you. It's just being used in the wrong way. We could say it's your soul is prostituting itself to pay the rent. But now it doesn't need to do that anymore. But it continues to do that because that's all it's known. So you're going to have to give that up. And your soul doesn't want to do that. Your soul does not want to give up control of how it gets its needs met. And we'll go into this into more detail as we go through the process. But that control, anytime you're feeling out of control, odds are it's your flesh in rebellion. Depending on God and doing things His way will often result in feelings of lack of control, uncertainty, sometimes just icky, like you don't really have your hands around something. fine. That's where God wants you. As long as you're depending on Him. And all that means is asking Him, turning to Him. There's no special formula. Just, Lord, is that you? Lord, what do you want me to do here? Lord, I feel icky. Lord, I feel out of control. Am I okay? He just gives you the assurance, we're doing good. Just hang in there. And the out of control feelings might not go away, but they don't mean anything. And you'll get through it. And you will have conquered your enemy in that area. So hang in there. He knows exactly what you need. You don't. Your soul doesn't know the reward of receiving life without the hindrance of the flesh. But God's not going to let you live without Him. So He is going after your flesh, one way or another. Now, a lot of times we want to deal with one area. And He says, well, I'm going to deal with that, but not now. I'm working over here. A lot of times we think, okay, you know, nothing's going on. And yet it's the 99% of the work is done under the surface without us knowing about it. I was reading on the news that one of the glaciers in Alaska that has been running over volcanoes is melting. There's a hole in it. It seems like those volcanoes might be a lot more active than was first thought. Well, nobody gave it a thought because the glacier was covering it. So now there's a lot of attention paid to it. Same way with our flesh. Is we think, okay, it's working, so we're not paying any attention to it. So very often, in order for God to draw our attention to it, He lets it fail. He raises a cause for concern in our health, our finances, or our relationships. And we wonder, okay, what's the volcano underneath? Is it about to go off? How destructive is it? Is that really what's going on? Or is God just drawing our attention to it? And it's fascinating how opposite the two are. You think about volcano and all that heat with these tremendous sheets of ice that have been flowing over it for decades, if not hundreds of years, hiding something totally opposite underneath. So while we think, oh, we're, you know, that so-and-so is such a sweet person, until you cross them and you find out the anger or the language that can come out, or someone, you know, supposedly a religious leader is such a high moral example. Until you hear a tape, and you go, oh my gosh, this is what they're like in their off hours. When you find they're being investigated for tax fraud and were arrested for this, that, or the other thing, and you go, wow, those things just don't match. Well, that is true inside each one of us. Your flesh is that ice, that sheet of ice, that glacier. It's putting a harmless face on the wounds that are underneath, the lies that you're believing. There's always a connection between a lie and a wound. In an area where you are believing a lie, it's causing a separation between you and God, which that is causing you a wound, because it's an area where his truth cannot reside. And that lie has to be dispelled before that wound can be healed and you can receive God's life in that area. Since his goal is to be your life, complete and entire and 100% across the board, he's not going to let you continue to believe lies. And he's not going to continue to let you live wounded. So this is not something you have to convince God to do. He's doing it anyway. But he wants us to cooperate with him. He wants us to cooperate with him in everything he's doing. Isn't that amazing? He's not a puppet master. Sometimes when I hear people say, well, you know, God's up in heaven, he's, you know, when we pray to him up there, it's like, he's not up there. There is no up and there is no there. He's in and around, and we are in and around. And to try to separate us from God with distance is just a lie. And it sets up this false relationship. He's not out there. He's right there. In fact, if just to have a little exercise, next time you're talking to him, just put a chair there. Or if you're sitting on your couch, just put a pillow where you want him to be. And let him talk back to you. He's right there. He's not away off in heaven. He's not off somewhere where you need to get his attention or find a way to make yourself heard. But he is not going to let us live believing lies and living wounded. So regardless of your own intent and the strength of your self-life, the strength of your flesh, he is going to consume it. Now, the consuming part, the getting rid of the flesh, that is his job. We can't do it. We can't get rid of our own flesh. We don't have the tools. We don't have what it takes. All we can do is cooperate with God. He'll take care of the rest. It's like we're behind the bars. We can see, admit, okay, God, by believing this lie, I'm wounded, and you're the only one who can raise me out of this hospital bed. Or we're in prison. We're imprisoned by our habits or our beliefs or our past or our fear. And he's the only one who has the key and can unlock those bars. We just have to wait. The thing is he can only let us out as we go through the process of receiving his truth. Now, we may be behind bars, but we are actually innocent. Because anything you may have done or believed has already been paid for. Okay? So this is not about forgiveness. We were talking about forgiveness in another series. We won't get into that too much now. But you're innocent. If you don't believe you're innocent, and he went ahead and let you out of prison, you would continue to live guilty. You would continue to live under condemnation. And you would continue to live according to those lies. would continue to live as a wounded being. So he's not going to free you from that flesh if you're only going to turn around and create more flesh in that area. So he's going to keep you where you're at, behind bars in that area, until you're able to receive that truth. Then the healing comes, and you are freed in that area. Now you're going to have to learn how to live differently. You're going to have to learn to live as a free man, as a son of God, as a joint heir, as a co-inheritor. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're here on this earth for. But that flesh are the bars. Your flesh is a result of you believing you are a sinner, or you have made such mistakes you're never going to be able to get out of it, or that God doesn't love you, or that you're unlovable, or that it's now your responsibility to live up to God's expectations. Or that you'll never measure up to your standards, to other standards, or to God's standards. And God's not going to let you run free believing that. So until you change your mind and agree with him, he's on the other side of the bars with the keys, and he's saying, you're innocent, you're free, you're whole, you're righteous. You did not commit the crimes you're confessing to. It's a false confession. I can't free you from your flesh until you see that, until you see the truth. Because you're only going to go around, unless you change your beliefs about who you are, you're going to continue to live as a criminal, and you only end up back behind bars. And God's not going to let you. So he's going to keep you behind the bars until you see things his way. That you are a righteous son by virtue of being reborn as a spirit being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in the body. You are no longer a sinner. You are no longer a criminal. Doesn't matter how much you confess to it. Doesn't matter how many details you have of the crime. You've been declared righteous. You've already come before the judge 2,000 years ago. And all the penalties have been paid. You just have to accept it. Now, even behind bars, we have come to accept life in prison. And we've come up with our own ways of maintaining a sense of control. We adapt. We've all learned to adapt to living in prison. And there's that great movie with Tom Hanks, written by Stephen King, The Green Mile. It's The Shawshank Redemption. Sorry about that. Where, as prisoners are set free, they don't know how to live in the real world. And one of the parts of that story is the dependence, going from being dependent on others to tell you when to do, what to do, to going to freedom where you can come and go pretty much as you please. And you don't have to ask permission to have dinner or to make a phone call. How that was too much for some of them. And some commit crimes so they can go back into prison. And some end their lives. And we follow one that has other options. But for us, God's not going to let us live behind those prison bars. He wants you free. It's going to be hard because we've not been this way before. We don't know how to live free. So much of it is involved in, while we're living in prison, we know what's expected of us. We have a handle on the standards. We have somebody telling us this is what to do, and we may not do it. We may rebel against it. But there's a certainty there. Learning to live free, we're learning the distinction between being reliant and dependent on God and those areas where we are making our decisions and we are the masters of our own lives. And how that fits in with being totally dependent on God. How we are learning to rule and reign over our soul and our body first, and then over this earth, over this world. Any time we feel out of control or wanting more control, we are giving the flesh power in our lives. Don't fight against it. We can use the same approach as in anything else. Lord, what do we do? What lie am I believing? Name it the emotion you're feeling. Write down the thought you're having. You'll find that you'll turn to the same script every time and God will reveal through that the lie that you're believing, and it's going to be a lie about you, a lie about him, or a lie about others. You know, the lie is nobody will ever love me. God, what's your truth? And let him speak to you personally. Sit on your couch or wherever your quiet time is with him. Either set a chair there and let him speak to you, a pillow or whatever. He's real and he's really with you. And he wants to speak to you directly. And let just me telling you what he has to say to you isn't going to do it. He's a real God. He's a real person. And he really speaks. So don't let anybody else put words in his mouth. And don't try to conjure up answers. Let him speak for himself. It's the goodness of God. Once you've experienced his healing and his truth-telling, and freeing you from that flesh, you will see that as he brings you out of that prison, there is a carriage outside the prison door that is awaiting to take you home, his home, your home. He has all his promises waiting for you as he sets you free from your own beliefs. So we'll pick it up here next Monday. I'll see you again tomorrow morning at 7:30, where we'll be talking about getting healed. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas at Prepare Radio. Have a great Monday.